two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
The supply chain crisis is hitting families across the United States, but the Utah Inland Port Authority has just announced a new deal with the Port of Long Beach in California and Union Pacific Railroad that could help solve some of the problem, both now and into the future, as well as working toward a better environment. So what does this all mean for Utah? Really pleased to have back on the program Jack Hedge, who is the executive director of the Utah Inland Port Authority. Jack, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Boyd. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful. So as we look at this, who would have thunk it, right? Suddenly talking about ports and all that supply chain has suddenly put what Utah has been talking about for a couple of years now in the middle of the conversation. But tell us what was announced today and what does it actually mean?
Yeah, boy, it really has. We are sort of coming up, working really hard to come up with solutions and ways to deal with some of the supply chain issues that we have, while trying to also address issues related to traffic congestion and air pollution associated with goods movement. And this new agreement that we've built on with Port of Long Beach and the UP Railroad really goes to the heart of those two issues. So not only are we moving goods into Utah more efficiently than they're being moved now, but we're going to take a lot of truck traffic off the road between Southern California and Utah. It's really going to benefit us in a lot of ways, economically and environmentally.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. Again, who would have thought we would have been talking about this in this way just even a few months ago? Now looking at that and converting, from road, we know there's challenges at the ports in terms of longshoremen. We know that there are challenges in terms of the numbers of drivers and trucks on the road. So converting from road to rail in terms of cargo, tell us just a little bit what those benefits might look like. What is that impact going to be?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it has benefits throughout the supply chain. When you're taking cargo off out of the terminals, out of the port terminals by truck, you're only moving one box at a time, one box per truck. But a rail car can move up to five or six boxes at a time. So for every rail car that we put on, we're taking at least three trucks off the road at that time. So we're reducing congestion and pollution at the terminal, at the gate, and moving that cargo out more efficiently, much more efficiently, and much more rapidly than it's getting moved out today. So what we hope to be able to do is, working with the UP Railroad, is actually literally sweep the terminals, the 13 terminals in L.A. Long Beach, and move that cargo by rail inland, cargo that was already destined to come to us anyway but was coming to us by truck, move it in by rail. So it moves the cargo quicker and faster. It gets it out of the terminals faster, which reduces congestion at the port terminals. It gets into Utah faster, which gets it into our hands quicker and with less congestion and less air pollution. And it puts equipment and boxes in Utah that really is going to help our exporters in the future. Our exporters will be able to get access to that equipment and get their stuff loaded here and get it out back to the coast for export instead of trying to get to the docks and trying to match up when they get there.
Yeah, wow, that is so fascinating. So as you look at this and how this system and these kinds of agreements, does that ultimately become part of that infrastructure that will support an inland port for the long haul? Explain that to us.
Yeah, it really does. The infrastructure financing that the board approved a week or so ago is actually for this very kind of thing. It's to make improvements in the rail system to allow these trains to come in without conflicting with traffic, and to be able to move through the system more efficiently, more effectively. The transload facility, the cross-dock facility that we've proposed to build, actually will handle this cargo and make it even more efficient on our end of the chain, that it gets handled in a more efficient manner, creates more jobs, as well as further reducing, truck impacts from moving that cargo. All of that infrastructure that we've got planned for the next year or so all goes to this very kind of project.
Yeah.
And really makes the system hum.
Yeah, so as you look at that, so we've talked about how that impacts things in terms of kind of that high level. We've talked about the process, the shipping. We've talked about how that would influence importers and exporters here in the state of Utah. Let's take it all the way down to the individual level. We talked some about the climate impact and the alleviation of having so many trucks on the roads and the efficiencies that are realized there. Let's take it all the way down to the general consumer, the average citizen. What is this kind of process and this kind of system and strategy going to do in terms of the average consumer?
Well, I think what it really does for the average consumer is it helps keep a lid on prices that are related to transportation costs. It really is a way to help mitigate some of the increases that we've seen recently in the cost of shipping goods to and from the United States. And, most of the stuff that we consume in the United States as consumers comes from overseas. And so reducing that cost or being able to at least try to stabilize that cost and keep it from going up as rapidly as it has could have really big impacts in terms of our pocketbooks on an everyday basis.
Yeah, we know the impact in terms of inflation, the prices going mm-hmm. up, those containers. We've heard reports that the cost to ship a container from China to the port here in the western U.S., went from 1,500 to about 15,000, some say even as high as 20,000. So does this kind of system that you're describing and these kind of agreements that you've announced, is that going to help alleviate that pressure, and will that ultimately have kind of a trickle-down impact?
Well, yeah. So being able to move those boxes through the terminals faster eliminates some of that congestion. And some of that premium that's being paid right now for that box is to build in the cost of dealing with that congestion and that backup at the port terminals. And that translates directly into our costs. The cost of everything from, the toys that we're looking at to buy our kids for Christmas, making sure that they're on the shelves, but also the price of those toys. Look at what's happened to lumber. And if you've tried to do a backyard project in the last year or so, look at what's happened to the price of lumber in that period of time, or steel or concrete or anything like that. All costs across the board have been going up. This is a way to start bringing those costs back down and keeping a lid on them into the future.
Yeah, wonderful. One last quick question for you, Jack. As you look at how that rolls in and these agreements that you've announced, these deals you've announced today, how quickly will we start to see some of the impact and influence of that here in the state?
Boyd, I think the railroad's going to start pulling cargo here just immediately. They're ready to roll. This is imminent. This is not something that's going to take months to put together. This is something we'll start seeing here right away.
We're
very excited about that. It's a real solution.
That's wonderful. Fantastic. Jack Hedge is the executive director of the Utah Inland Port Authority. Again, who would have thought that we'd be talking about Inland Port in this way at this time? Again, 6 months ago, I don't think that was on anybody's radar. Except maybe Jack. Jack probably saw this one coming with all of that. But we appreciate Jack joining us on the program today. We're going to go ahead and step aside for some bottom of the hour news. And when we come back, we're going to pick up our conversation with Lindsay Yarich, who's also going to give us the bottom of the hour news.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.